Milwaukee public schools have been hiring international teachers for years to cover staffing shortages, but the district ended the program this school year. It's Thursday, September 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a small police department in Jefferson County has applied to work with ICE on immigration enforcement. And Wisconsin lawmakers are introducing a series of election-related bills. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Milwaukee Public Schools Superintendent Brenda Casilius says the district stopped hiring international educators this year because of uncertainty over access to visas. Casilius says her decision was reinforced last week when the Trump administration increased the cost of H-1B work visas from $3,500 to $100,000.
Of course, that would be impossible then for us. So imagine if we were starting this and it was a major strategy for us to use for our vacancies right now, and it's $100,000 per teacher. That's just too much money.
Milwaukee Public Schools has helped fill its staff vacancies by hiring internationally for the last 15 years. In 2023, the district ramped up its hiring efforts, hiring 200 international educators to teach language classes and other subjects. The Palmyra Police Department could soon be authorized to conduct immigration enforcement operations. As Steph Conquest Ware reports, it's part of a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement program where officers are trained to work as immigration agents.
The program is called the Task Force Model. Pending approval, the small police department in Jefferson County will be allowed to stop and arrest people for immigration-related offenses. Tim Muth is a senior staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin.
There is no call for a local police department like Palmyra to get involved in immigration enforcement when there are so many other public safety needs.
Palmyra's Director of Public Safety and Interim Police Chief Paul Blount says the program is a, quote, tool, not a blanket immigration enforcement program. They are the only Wisconsin department to apply for the task force model. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Microsoft is proposing another data center campus in Racine County, this time in Caledonia. Plans for the 240-acre site next to the We Energy's Oak Creek Power Plant were first announced in July, but at that time it was unknown who would operate the center. That is until this week when Microsoft announced they would be the user. Local residents have spoken out against the plan. Laura Million is the deputy director of the Racine County Economic Development Corporation. She says Microsoft would do wonders for the community.
The proposed data center will diversify the village's tax base and increase property tax revenue to enable the village to maintain service levels for fire and police, make road investments, and consider investments in parks and recreation.
If those plans are approved, it would be the tech giant's third data center complex in Racine County. Assembly lawmakers from both parties held a joint press conference yesterday to unveil a collection of election-related bills. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the proposals are largely not bipartisan.
Republican Representative Scott Krug of Rome helps lead the Assembly Elections Committee. He and Democrat Lee Snodgrass of Appleton said they wanted to present their bills together to illustrate a good faith effort to shore up voting in Wisconsin. And Krug said that Republicans are not going along with certain Trump White House priorities, like wanting to end early voting.
We understand that we set the line in Wisconsin, that we have our own election system.
There is bipartisan support for a small handful of bills, but the parties are otherwise doing their own things. For example, one GOP bill would let absentee ballots be processed one day before Election Day. While Democrats back that concept, they say this proposal has too many other strings attached. Anya Wagton Donk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll hear from a mother-daughter duo who built a home using one of the final residential plans created by Frank Lloyd Wright. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, the plans for a home designed by Wisconsin's own Frank Lloyd Wright were on his drawing board when he died in 1959. And for more than six decades, that design remained unbuilt. Now, a mother and daughter duo based in Ohio are taking on the project to finish this home, committing to keeping the architecture as authentic as possible. And the Magnolia Network wanted to follow along. The show is called The Last Right, Building the Final Home Design of America's Greatest Architect. It premiered this month with streaming available on HBO Max. Sarah and Debbie Dykstra joined WPR's Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret to talk about their efforts to bring the River Rock House to life.
Sarah, can you paint a picture of this house? Now, we're in Wisconsin. We've got houses with, I think, similar Frank Lloyd Wright designs. I stayed in a vacation rental designed by one of his students or mentees. Paint us a picture of this house that you set out to build here.
Sure. Well, we're on 30 acres along the Chagrin River Road in Willoughby Hills, Ohio. And it's just very picturesque, you know, the streams, the eagles, the deer. And both homes sit up on a ridge, both the Lewis Penfield House and River Rock. But River Rock is kind of built into the ground and overlooking the ledge. So it looks a lot different than Penfield House. It's all rock. It has a massive point and cantilever that overlooks the land and down into the river. You can't see all of the river from up here, but it's just right there, and it kind of pulls you to go towards that river.
Debbie, as I understand Frank Lloyd Wright, you couldn't take this plan from River Rock and build it somewhere else, right? This was a building that was designed to be on this exact spot. Tell us a little bit about how it fits in on the landscape.
Well, it was designed to go 60-some degrees off of a particular poplar tree that is on this property, and there's actually two. 70 years ago, it would have been fine, but because we were doing it now, created a problem with the roots. We were afraid we were going to lose it, but this house sits right on this particular piece because of that poplar tree, and we decided to make it as authentic as possible. We had to stick to that particular spot, try to save that poplar tree, and so far so good.
Now, Sarah, you describe yourself on the show as a retired lady and a never built a house lady. Okay, so you're taking this plot of land, you're building it here. How daunting a task was this for the two of you?
Well, the mother's the retired lady, but she had some experience building in the past. And we come from a family of builders over 110 years here in Lake County, Ohio. And so it was daunting. It was definitely nerve-wracking, all of those things that you can imagine. The pressure of doing it exactly right for Mr. Wright and for the Penfields.
What is it about Frank Lloyd Wright that the two of you love? Let's throw this one to Debbie first this time. What is it that grabs you about Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture?
Well, that's a really difficult question. Well, for one thing, I've always been a learner, so I love to learn about new things. So diving into Frank Lloyd Wright architecture, for me, was a learning experience, just like with my daughter, only on a different level. And if you look at the way he built things versus the way things are built today, it's completely different. So it was a big learning experience. And there's no other architect like him around ever, as far as I know. And I know pretty much about, you know, architecture, and I've traveled quite a bit. But his thought process as far as the inside outside, people have taken that, but he took it, he did it first. And I have always loved being outside, and I love feeling like, even when I'm sitting in the house, this house, it's got 18-foot windows. I mean, you feel like you're sitting outside, only you don't feel the weather change.
Congratulations on the show, and I look forward to having you here in Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Sarah and Debbie Dykstra speaking with WPR's Wisconsin Today host, Rob Ferret. You can find the full interview with Sarah and Debbie at WPR.org/morning. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Some fog across the state to start today, but things clearing as the day goes on, with high temperatures in the 70s and plenty of sunshine today. Overnight, those clouds will start to roll in once again. It's likely we'll see some more fog, but no rain expected. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.